Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Ephesians chapter 2 in our ongoing expository study of the epistle of Paul to the church in Ephesus. We will cover verses 1 and 2, and we have titled this study, Dead in Trespasses and Sins. And before beginning our study, I would like to share a letter we love from a sister, Laverne, who lives in the Chicago, Illinois area. She wrote us a very nice letter from which we would like to share just a few comments. Laverne writes, Dear Pastor Miller and your lovely wife, I am a single black Christian woman who lives in Chicago. I will be 74, God willing, in September 2016. And by the way, that's the same month of my birthday. She continues, I never knew the joy, hope, and blessing a telephone could give me until I bought a cell phone and found your ministry on YouTube. I thank God for you and your lovely wife and congregation every day. I have been saved since about the age of 9, and I have, over the years, made my calling and election sure. I love the Lord Jesus and my Heavenly Father. I have what I call a praise and prayer session with the Lord every day, and I found myself weeping every day. It breaks my heart to see every day how this country is denying the Lord Jesus. And she comments on some examples of the apostasy, including that of Billy Graham, Robert Schuller, Pope Francis, and others that we've documented in our messages in the past. And she then writes, I know the Lord Jesus will be returning soon. I thank and praise His holy name. I believe all of His holy scriptures, and I only use the King James Holy Bible. I love the Lord and cannot stand much more of the sinful, evil ministers, politicians, and heathens. And we say amen. And she mentions some personal prayer needs and then closes her letter saying, Beside wanting to meet the old prophets and apostles, I will be so happy to meet you and the missus in heaven. I do share your ministry with my family and prayer partners. So do not give up. The Lord is on your side. Your sister in Christ, Laverne. And we certainly look forward to meeting you, Sister Laverne, here, there, or in the air. And we appreciate your generous gift and for writing such a wonderfully encouraging letter. And I'm going to obviously sit down and write her a response to that letter as well. But I showed that letter to the missus as soon as I saw her after opening and reading it myself. And folks, we really do appreciate hearing from you. You can send your letters, big or small, by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send it by U.S. Postal to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Again, the email address is 3Bs, BBBF, the letter F as in fellowship, Ohio, bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or the P.O. Box again is P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We've titled this study, Dead in Trespasses and Sins. This is part 1 of 2.
Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at the first two verses of the chapter and give ourselves a little background for the rest of our study as we continue. If you've missed the previous messages or any of those messages, they're online at bbfhire.com. You'll see the playlist for those messages. If you go out to our YouTube channel or sermon audio channel, you'll find those. And the purpose and the point of our studies isn't just to take a couple verses out of a book and fling it against the wall. The idea isn't to grab a hold of something and just make some life-changing message in a matter of 30, 40, 45 minutes, however long it takes. Some of you are like, yeah, like more like an hour. No, no. Normally I go around that time. But the life-changing power of the Word of God comes from you being in it with a steady diet. And how many of you ever ate a meal that was so explosive that it changed your life for a couple days. That wasn't good, was it? Amen? That wasn't good. And that's the way the Word of God is. Most of the time, what you want is a steady diet. And that's going to change you in a good way. Because I want to tell you, that some of the messages that I've seen or heard that changed people in like a snap and a heartbeat, a lot of times wasn't good. I've seen people change and all of a sudden start haggling in tongues because they heard some message. I've seen people give up a paycheck. You say, well, if God was leading them to do it, yeah, if God was leading them to do that, fine. But it wasn't God that I heard leading them to do it. It was a preacher. And sometimes they can get a hold of your heartstrings and pull you just the right way and make you do things that otherwise God would not have you do. That's not what we're about here. We want you to fall in love with this book. And so I urge you to get all the messages as we go through books. And if you've got the time, we've already got the Gospel of Mark from start to finish, the epistle to the church in Galatia, and we're right down to the end of the entire book of Revelation. And then there's others out there. So anyway, in this beginning of Ephesians chapter 2, we titled it Dead in Trespasses and Sin. And most of the time you're going to find our titles we just take right out of the words of God themselves, because that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to open with the reading of the text, verses 1 and 2. So go ahead and read that with me. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And you notice there that first verse started with the word and that's why I said what I just said in the beginning. We're building on what was in chapter 1. And in light of what we learned in chapter 1, we continue with the word, and you hath he quickened. Now, believe it or not, cults deny that we are born again in this lifetime. Now, we've taught on this a couple of times in depth, but how many of you knew that? That there were cults and different couple of groups that are accepted as part of the Christian family. And they'll distort this doctrine of being born again in this lifetime. And of course, the Roman Catholic Church and other, the Orthodox Church, they teach that this version of it that we'll touch on as we study, but they teach the baptismal regeneration of infants. Now folks, that's horrible. You're taking a baby who can't even think consciously yet, dripping some water on them, and then telling that baby that they're saved because they had water dripped on them by an officiant of the church. And I'm sorry, is it just me, or is there so much in this world, in this life we're living in, seem insane to you? Yeah. Amen. I mean, right now, Americans don't even know where to go to the bathroom. It's insane that we have to have a discussion over the fact that if you are a man with male organs, you have male chromosomes, stay out of my wife's restroom. Amen. It's nutty. And the same thing goes on in churches. Nutty. You have some guy standing up there with a big dress on and hocus pocus sprinkle water on a baby and say, saved. Or she, or whatever. It's insane. It's the idea we have to even talk about it, and this is just on the basic teaching that we don't have to be born again in this lifetime. It's insane. Amen. They teach it despite such clear references as what we just read when Paul says, "And you hath he quickened." Paul is writing the words of God. These words are given to us from God. Through Paul. So it's not just Paul's opinion here. It is God saying to the church at Ephesus. You see, you get into the church not by coming in and helping us put down the nachos and cheese. That's not how you get into the church of Jesus Christ. You get into the church of Jesus Christ by consciously repenting of everything that you thought you knew, everything you do, everything you are, and saying, I give up. I totally trust in what you have done on the cross. I totally trust in your shed blood. I totally trust in the power of your resurrection for eternal salvation. Amen. That's how you're saved. And that's how you get into the church. And that's why Paul said, "And you hath he quickened." Because if you hadn't been quickened, you're still lost. Not only is it insane to tell people all that born-again stuff, they've got that all messed up, that's not for right here and now. Not only is Paul saying they're wrong, but it is so damning to say such a thing.
Amen.
From the mouth of Jesus, John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man join the church..."
Yeah.
No. "Except a baby be sprinkled..." No. Read it with me. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except a baby? No.
Man.
And when it says man, it's in the general sense. Some of you guys might have been feminized by the modern culture, but man and mankind is not talking about genitals. It's talking about you being human.
Yeah.
And when the Bible says, "Except a man be born again," it's true about every human. You must be born again. Peter, just like Paul, Peter wrote a couple of epistles, and what he wrote was given to him by God. Infallible words.
Amen.
1 Peter 1:3, from the pen of Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again." That's the basically a past tense form of being born again.
Amen.
Hath. Now, how are you going to say that's in the future when it says it's in the past?
Amen.
He's talking to Christians. If you're saved, past tense, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, which is future, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
You see, as a Christian, you have been born again, or you're not a Christian.
Amen.
Oh, you can call yourself a Christian. And you can go to church, walk in, "I'm a Christian." You can go down to the little service station down the road there, walk in the garage and say, "I'm a car." Neither one's true unless you walked into a church as a born-again Christian.
Amen.
Let's just stop here for a second. I want to show you something. That's what happens when you build churches based on nonsense. When you don't say you must be born again to be a Christian. United Methodist Church leaders are meeting to discuss the acceptance of openly gay pastors. I saw somebody online say, "Well, it's probably time to leave the United Methodist Church."
Yeah.
No. It was time to leave when they decided to discuss the matter.
Yeah.
These men must repent.
Amen.
Toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if he's a pastor or not, he's going to hell.
Amen. Right.
United Methodist Church, even discussing this, disqualifies itself from even being a church.
Amen.
You're not a church. You're a non-profit organization, but you're not a church.
Yeah. Amen.
But that happened because... You see, it didn't just wake up one day and have a bunch of homos in their church, in the pulpits. No, what happened was is they stopped teaching the biblical gospel, stopped preaching the true gospel, started baptizing, pouring water or whatever they do to babies, and they filled their church pews with unsaved, sprinkled people.
Amen.
And those unsaved, sprinkled people have now put unsaved people in their pulpits. And now it's been long enough and they've got enough unsaved people in their pulpits that now they're doing that. That's right.
Wow.
And that's how the cookie crumbles. Stay tuned. It's just going to get worse.
Yeah.
Glory, hallelujah. You say, "Well, why would you say that?" Because God said it was going to get worse. So when we watch it getting worse, we know God is true. Let every man be a liar. It's getting worse just as God said it would.
Yeah.
And what you're going to see is a lot of these big-timers out there who have been running around saying, oh, there's a revival in the land. It's covering the earth. Oh, it's wonderful. People being saved. You know, what they're doing is they're lowering the standard to allow more people in to call themselves Christians so they can claim it's a revival because their numbers went up. God's not impressed with our numbers. God looks at every individual soul. And a real man of God is going to preach, you must be born again. And he's going to tell people, if you're not, you're going to hell. And you can't find very many real men of God today. That's a fact. Paul described the new birth here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Read that with me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we got the nice little drawing over there that kind of gives you the picture. Going from darkness to light. That is a life-changing experience.
Amen.
Being born again. Now, I'll throw this in free of charge. You don't work to be saved. You work because you are saved.
Amen.
And so there ought to be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian if they ever take you to court.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
That's the way it ought to be.
I'm
And there are many other such references we could go through showing that Christians are Christians because they're born again. God changes the old man with a new birth. And again, we've talked about it before, but I'm going to throw it in. You can go read it in 1 Corinthians 3. God makes you a new man, and you turn around and try to become that old man again. God will work on you, chastise you, and if you won't turn around, He'll destroy you. That's His words, exactly. God says He will destroy you. Why? He loves you not to let you go on in that state. I mean, it's not the same, but it's kind of like Old Yeller. You remember Old Yeller? They loved Old Yeller enough that they didn't let him just go on in his rabies state. And of course, they didn't want him to endanger human beings either.
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. God will take you out so you don't take others down with you.
Yeah.
Give them that disease you've got.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And let me tell you something. That may sound harsh right now, but if you go running against God into sin and you start taking other people down and God kills you, you're going to thank Him in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for not letting me do any more damage than I did.
Amen.
But there is the possibility you're not even one of His. You live like that and you don't have any conviction. You know who I fear? I don't fear the guy that goes, turns on God and God kills him. The one I fear is the guy who claims to be a Christian, goes around fornicating, blaspheming with no repercussions. Goes on for years. That's the guy I fear for. Why isn't God treating that person like a child? Well, the Bible says it must be because he's not his child.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why it says, and you hath he quickened who were, past tense, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were in that condition. Now, what does it mean to be dead in trespasses and sins? I got to clarify this. You need to get this, because if you don't, you leave yourself open for the devil to come in and mess with your mind and get you off track. It's not what the Calvinists claim.
Amen.
Being dead in trespasses and sins, biblically, is not what the Calvinists claim. The claim that spiritual death is the same as physical death is a misrepresentation of the Word of God, and that's what they do. What they do, and I've even actually seen this done where in a Calvinist church, they've had a coffin and they had somebody lay down in that coffin. And the preacher pointed at that person as a dead man and kept talking to the dead man and telling the dead man to do things, and he just laid there. And he said, see, that's you. That's you before you're saved. Well, see, the Bible never gives you that image. The Bible never refers to you in the same sense of physical death. The Bible never refers to you in that sense spiritually. before you're born again. Spiritual death is separation.
Wow. Amen.
Why? Who's the life? If you're not in the life, you're in death. That's it. Now look at this. You're dead in trespasses and sins. We're going to see when we get down to verse 13, it's described like this. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. You see, that's the condition you're in before you're saved right there. You're separated from God. You're far off. That's not the same as what happens when you physically die. Big difference. Spiritual death is not cessation of life, and that's how they picture it. It is separation from the life. We talk about this, and that's why you have to read the Bible in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We talked about the first resurrection and the second resurrection. Charlie and I were discussing that at the end of the study Wednesday night. People have taken that to mean just numeric resurrections, and so they say, well, there's the biblical teaching is that Jesus was the first fruits and those who rose with him, and then comes the rapture where the dead in Christ rise first, and then at the end of the tribulation period, and they're like, well, you got all these different groups being resurrected. How can it be the first resurrection if there's more than one? And it's because when you read with the discernment of the Spirit, you understand that the first resurrection is the quality or type of resurrection. If you were raised to life, you're in the first resurrection.
Amen.
No matter when it happened.
Amen.
And if you're not resurrected to life, then you're a part of the second resurrection unto death. See that? Well, the same type of thing is what we're talking about when it comes to spiritual death versus physical death. They're different. And you can't look at physical death and try to define your spiritual condition before being saved in terms of the physical death. Here's what it says in verse 2. It begins by saying, wherein in time past you, look at this, walked. Well, wait a minute. Did that Calvinist preacher look down and say, now you in the coffin, walk according to the course of this world? No, because it wouldn't fit his sermon. See what I'm saying? He's picturing your state before being saved, your spiritual dead state as cessation of life, with a guy laying lifeless in a coffin. It don't work, because before you were saved, you were walking. Before being born again, the sinner is literally... Now, what in the world? That happened to me. I'm going to fix that because that's too good to pass up. I'm going to tell you, it's my fault. I get forgetful and everything, but I'm going to have to start roping this area off in between during our break so that I can get everything together, because I can't think when I'm talking to people and stuff. Take two.
Amen.
Being born again, the sinner is literally a... You still wasn't loud enough.
Take three.
You hear that?
Yes.
Amen.
Now, if you didn't know, that's what they... I don't know if they still do that, but in places where they execute people, when they take you out of your cell and walk you down to be executed, they announce it. Dead man walking. He's not really dead yet, is he?
No.
See that? Well, in the same sense, before you're saved... God says that when we are dead in trespasses and sins, we walked according to the course of this world. You see that? Your condition of being dead was due to the fact that you were separated from God. And get this, because if you're unsaved here this morning, it's true of you. If you're watching and you're unsaved, you're watching later on, your condition is you're a dead man walking. You're on death row.
Amen.
Amen. People don't like to think in those terms. But if you are not saved, the wages of sin is death. You are on death row. There is a death sentence on you unless or until you're born again.
Amen.
We were dead and we walked. Let that sink in, because that is a clear refutation of the false version given by the Calvinists. Don't picture yourself, if you're saved, don't picture yourself before you're saved in a coffin. And if you're unsaved right now, you're not in a coffin. You're on death row. And you're literally sitting there waiting for your appointment. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. If you are not born again before the appointment comes, it's over.
Amen.
There's nothing after that except for judgment and being cast into a lake of fire. Amen. Some of us walked in death for a few years after we became conscious of our need. My grandfather walked. My grandfather was a dead man walking for about 70 years of his life, and God spared him. And with His long suffering, He allowed my grandpa to be saved at 80 years old.
Amen. Thank you.
A few years later, when he died, I shed a tear. But it wasn't of just grief, although I miss him. I shed a tear. It was a mixture of grief and joy.
Amen.
Because I knew I was going to see him again. But if you die in your state of being dead in your trespasses and sin, your honest, especially Christian loved ones are going to grieve over your death, because they know they're never going to see you again. You die without Jesus Christ, you'll grieve for eternity. You'll never see them again. That's it.
Amen.
But you better picture yourself the way God pictures you in the Word of God, that you are a dead man walking according to the course of this world.
Dead man! Dead man walking!
I couldn't figure out which one I wanted to play, so I played them both. But it's a complete misrepresentation of the text to claim that being dead in sin is the same as cessation of all spiritual life. Get that real good in your head, because in the future, if the Lord tarries, there are going to be people kind of claw at you and try to do that misunderstanding. It'll happen. The Bible says in Romans 5:6, watch this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you before you were saved. That's not someone in a coffin. I mean, think about this. How silly would it be to look at a physically dead person in a casket and say, "Looks a little weak. What's wrong with the brother here?"
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.